Welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast broadcast from the state capitol in Jefferson City, sponsored by the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, Missouri Farm Bureau, and the Sheet Metal Workers Local 36. Now from the state capitol, the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast.
Welcome to the inaugural Hashtag MoLedge Podcast. Very grateful to everyone at KMOX for partnering with us on this new venture we're doing. Every week after the legislature's done, go to KMOX.com, MissouriTimes.com, or go to the iTunes store and download the podcast each week. And so we're very glad to have it here in the inaugural edition. I want to thank the folks at the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce and Missouri Farm Bureau for sponsoring it. And we're here in the office of Representative Caleb Jones, the person we'll call the Podfather. It was his idea to come up with this. Representative Podfather, whatever you prefer, welcome.
Just small-town lawyer.
Speaking of small-town lawyers, we have Mike Colon from the city of St. Louis, maybe the house's most famous country lawyer that lives in the Central West End, but good to have you on.
Scott, those are the gently rolling hills of the Tower Grove South neighborhood.
Gotcha, Tower Grove South, yeah. When you're from West Butler County, everything north of Festus is St. Louis.
Thank you for having me.
Danny Pfeiffer, the head of Catalyst. Very glad to have you on our first podcast.
Just a small-town lobbyist.
Small-town lobbyist. And Journey knows about a small-town girl. So, and speaking of, we have Ashley McDonald with Farm Bureau. Thank you for being on the first podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Interesting week. A week we may talk about for a very long time. The Senate, the longest filibuster ever on an HJR 39. Some call it religious freedom. Others call it picking out homosexuals and creating barriers for them to get married. I guess depending on your perspective, one thing you had to admire, though, 40-hour filibuster ended in a very odd situation that may change the Senate going forward. Caleb Jones, what does SJR 39 do?
Well, first off, SJR 39 allows the people in the state of Missouri to vote on basically some rights and privileges that individuals have dealing with marriage issues. And this has been kind of a really, a lot of times legislation comes as a rebuttal or a reaction to something. I think everybody's heard about the bakers in Oregon that were fined $150,000 for refusing to bake a cake for a gay marriage. And also the complaints or concerns of making clergymen be forced to perform gay marriages. This is a response to that. This puts on the ballot protections for individuals in marriage ceremonies, protecting them from forcing them to do something against their religious beliefs.
Representative Colon, I bet you have a different view of this.
Well, I got to hand it to my dear friend, the small country lawyer from from Montauk County. Those talking points came out real well. But in reality, what this is, it's the same arguments and debates that we had in the 50s and 60s. When the Supreme Court said that blacks could marry whites, and folks that didn't like that came forward and said, you know what, I'm sorry, that violates my religious freedom. I don't want to do that. So the same backlash that we saw at that point in time, which we ultimately came to the right conclusion on, and the conclusion was, I'm sorry, that's a racist point of view to have, and you shouldn't have that point of view, and if you do, we're going to penalize you for it. That's what's going on today. This is basically a red herring to allow those folks who disagree with the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage to get some, what they would call, protection in the Constitution to legally discriminate. And I want to highlight just a couple things that the representative said. This bill, in its present form, doesn't just protect your preachers, your ministers, your men and women of faith from performing, quote-unquote, gay marriages. In fact, I'll sit here and argue that they presently have that protection.
Has that ever happened? Has somebody ever been forced to marry someone they didn't want to?
No, and especially when it comes
Shotgun weddings are for the husband and wife, right? They're not for the preacher.
Correct. But what this does is it extends that protection to other people. And what are other people? Well, it's interesting how you define people. The bill defines people as organizations, institutions, employees of organizations who do things like, well, run banquet halls for your wedding reception. The photographers, yeah, the cake bakers. You know, you sit back and you ask yourself, if you want to protect your religious ministers from having to perform a gay marriage, that's one thing. But when you extend it to additional people that really don't have a religious affiliation, and the bill does that, then you sit back and wonder if this is really a pretext to legally discriminate, and that's hurtful. You know, and the other thing I want to touch on right quick is you mentioned about the way that this went down, that we had a 40-hour filibuster, the longest filibuster in the history of the Missouri Senate. Is it the end of the world?
Actually, one of the largest in the nation, longest in the nation.
It was. Look, a bill both sides were proud to push it that far and proud to filibuster. Look like.
Sure.
I'm not sure it's the end of the world as we know it in the Senate. It may be too early to say. Yeah, I think we're fortunate that we have another week left before spring break. You know, if I'm a smart Democrat over in the Senate, I continue doing what I'm doing for the next week. Then over spring break, I meet with Republican leadership and talk about what's really important in the state of Missouri, like the budget.
Danny Barber, you've worked in Republican politics, as have I in the past. It concerns me that whether or not this is something that's anti-gay, it's certainly perceived that way in the gay community.
Yes.
Every day a person registers to vote, that turns 18, registers to vote, they don't care who's gay. And every day someone, very good, there are good people that just have different views on homosexuality. Every day somebody that might have a view that views that community is not part of the fabric of Missouri, that person dies. Mm-hmm. You can't go on like that.
Right. I mean, we're clearly on, in my opinion, we're clearly on the wrong side of history on the issue, or this piece of legislation is on the wrong side
of
history.
And this is put in the Constitution.
And that goes beyond my opinion. If you look at polling, it's very clear the millennial generation has a very different opinion than the baby boomers have on this issue. And I think you're right. I mean, this is not, and that's one of the things that makes what happened here and the unprecedented nature of what happened here, a 40-hour filibuster, procedures that are rarely used to pass this legislation, I think, so curious. And I think has a lot of people around the building. We're just hours off of it, really, so it's hard to understand in totality what it all means. But it's why it has a lot of us sort of scratching our heads and saying, why would we go to such lengths? 40-hour filibusters, parliamentary procedures that could potentially have significant impacts on other legislative priorities to pass this kind of legislation this early.
Ashley, you're a professional observer of the legislative process. Does this change the Senate? Will this change things going forward?
I think that's a question yet to be decided as we look to see what the Senate does today and in the coming weeks. You know, I know it's a concern, as was stated, for all of us that we still have the budget bills to get through the Senate, and I think that's a big concern for a lot of folks, depending on how angry the Democrats are over the procedural move that was
But if
used.
They don't stick up for themselves, they're not senators, right?
Well, it is the legislature, and compromises have to be made. There are still legislative priorities.
I'm sorry, I have to chuckle for just a minute. Compromises have to be made. When you had two Republican senators, good folks, go to the sponsor of the bill with amendments that would have brought this more in line with the federal RFRA law, and do it the right way. And by the right way, I mean go to other Republican senators first and say, here's my amendment, what do you think? Maybe let's run with it. Then you go to the sponsor, and the sponsor says, no. And for leadership to back the freshman from Temper Tantrum District Senator up, that's not...
Both sides. Good. I was there. I was there all night, sit at the press table. People would come over. Both sides just couldn't compromise. And I'm not sure that it wasn't... You had about three Republican senators and about three Democratic senators truly believe passionately different things. I don't know that they could have came together.
Yeah, I mean, our firm worked on this issue. We were one of the few that were pretty highly engaged in the back and forth over it. And I can tell you there was very, very little room for conversation around whether or not they should negotiate on this. There's other legislation that's been filed on it.
Hang on, let's stop for a second. I'm going to give you $1.50. Reply on a five cent comment. You guys keep talking about legislation. This isn't legislation.
Okay, Representative, you know what then? Let's go ahead and put Mona in an HJR and put it out there for the state of Missouri to vote on.
Because maybe I'll vote for it.
Your own polling. Hey, your own polling has showed you that Republicans like that. And in fact, that's what is so ridiculous about this entire comment.
File an HJR, Mike.
Are
Do
you
something
kidding?
About it.
I can't get my bill on Mona heard in a committee because the speaker won't refer it.
Because we're legislating. Why don't you try to give the people a voice? Let them...
Is that tongue-in-cheek? Is that...
Not at all.
The bottom line, there's still a process for consideration pushing. When it comes to SJRs, HJRs, that is enshrined in the way in the Constitution and the rules and the way we do this stuff, and that's the reality.
I think we settled this by cage fight, right?
Look, you know, this is what's great about the whole democratic, legislative, whatever process you call it. You know, we are giving the people of Missouri a chance to actually decide on their own whether or not to do this. And they may vote it down, they may pass it, but we as a body are not forcing this down.
Quick prediction,
throat.
Caleb Jones, does this pass at the ballot?
Yes.
Representative Clone, does this pass?
Depends on messaging. If it's on the ballot like it presently is, you thought Indiana had an interesting fight. You thought Arkansas made national news. Missouri will become a battleground.
Does it pass? Quick prediction.
Depends on if it's in August or November.
What if it's in November?
If it's in November, it fails.
Fails. Danny Vibers, does it pass?
I agree with Colon. If it's in November, it fails.
Ashley, does this pass at the ballot?
I think it passes either August or November.
Answer is it passes barely after a very contentious fight. I don't think... I talked to folks in Indiana. I don't know that the Missouri folks pressing this quite know what they've got on their hands here.
Yeah, I think there are national implications here that no one understands really. And I think that the Representative Colon alluded to this. I think there will be attention brought to this and resource brought to this from outside of the state that we can't.
Sitting in that room, sitting in that chamber, if this were voter ID, if this were a tax cut, if this were a gun bill, very different conversation. I think that there may be some that question at some point for the state Senate, was this the right piece of legislation? Was this worth it? But moving forward, budget cuts to University of Missouri. Representative Jones, budget cuts, are they going to stick and how big are they?
I think they're going to stick, and quite frankly, I think the university should be counting their lucky stars that this is where they're at. I think that it was a very good likelihood that they were going to get zeroed out earlier this year. I think that, So.
How deep are they?
They got cut, I think, somewhere around $25 million. And then actually on the floor of the House, this was something that was really, I think, a unique situation. We actually had a vote on the House floor whether to cut another $1 million from the University of Missouri and send it to the other land-grant university in the state of Missouri, Lincoln University. And it passed. Pretty substantially, and I think that was a
surprise a lot of people.
I think it did surprise a lot of people. There were threats being made by some folks that were working on behalf of the University of Missouri about how they would take money from certain programs. They would try to make it painful if we did take the $1 million from it. Jay Barnes stood firm, said, "Go ahead and try."
This wrong is guy the right to push around. To do.
That's exactly right. They. You know, this whole bullying tactics of some of these institutions that have been here for years, I think we're finally at the point now where people are willing to stand up to them.
They are lucky it's only $25 million, aren't they?
They're very lucky it's only $25 million.
Can you, Representative Colonna, they come to the House, they come to Democrats to defend them. How do you defend the structural problems there?
Two things. Thing number one. I don't know that much about land-grant universities or education policy.
Simple country lawyer.
This is true. Some of this is lost on me. But I will tell you, for the first time in my tenure here, I sat in on a couple of hearings where the university had to testify, say, on X, Y, or Z. And I was, my jaw dropped. I actually was shocked at the bubble that the folks at the University of Missouri exist in. So that was eye-opening. The second thing, though, is when it comes to the powers of the purse, should we use the powers of the purse to, in essence, penalize the University of Missouri for being in that bubble? I'm not sure. I mean, if there are issues as far as you're fat, you're bloated, you're comfortable.
What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is that if the University of Missouri is fat, bloated, and comfortable, if their administration top-heavy, if they have departments, policies, organizations that exist that don't need to exist, taking money away from those programs is one thing, but to single them out because we don't agree with their politics or their hiring or firing of certain professors, to take money away from them based on that isn't a good precedent.
I'm going
to
cut in here. Look, to make this a political party argument is just a fallacy in the biggest form.
It's not a political party argument.
Melissa Click saying that this is... she was fired to appease the conservatives and the curators.
I don't believe
board
that.
Curators.
I don't
the board of curators
that.
Is a bunch of liberals.
Maybe she was fired to appease common sense.
I mean, there are no Republicans on the board of curators right now.
Now, that's because they resigned, okay? And they've resigned in the past 60 days.
Ashley McDonald, did you hear Caleb Jones say David Stillman's not a Republican?
I heard.
More importantly, David Stillman's going to hear him say that.
No, there's no question. Happy birthday, by the way, to the curator from Common Sense.
He was one of the few that actually stood up on this. So he does have a little bit of conservatism still left in him. But look, this whole, making this a political argument is just complete BS.
Hey, you're talking about bullying the University of Missouri by taking away $25 million.
Or appropriating.
I'm talking about looking at a University of Missouri that spends the taxpayers' dollars.
To do what?
And are wasting those.
How?
Okay. Do we
I'm not on budget. I don't know.
How long have you got?
I don't know.
Ashley, quick prediction. Do the cuts stand?
I think they'll be tough to stand in the Senate, frankly. You have obviously a chairman over there that is big supporter of the university, and so the $1 million cut in particular, I'm worried about. We at Farm Bureau obviously are happy to see that it was going to ag research. So I think.
How do you feel about them threatening they were going to cut more ag programs at the University of Missouri?
That made me very uncomfortable. But one thing that we have recognized is that Lincoln's program in ag research is a great program, and it has been underfunded. So, I frankly saw Josh Peters stand up, as well as Jay Barnes stand up. So I thought it was a bipartisan issue looking to a solution to a problem that I think Lincoln has faced for a number of years, happy to see go to ag research.
I think you raise a good point there, not to pivot away from Mizzou too much, but that this debate about Mizzou has raised. In an effort to be transparent, I represent Ozark Technical Community College, and for a long time, I think we've really struggled with a balance in terms of appropriate fairness in funding, whether it be between two-year and four-year institution, whether it doesn't matter, across the board, there's been, I think it's been this conversation about where the dollars are spent, how they're spent, and the best return to the state on taxpayer funds that are used to fund education is long overdue, and I'm glad that it's being brought forward. I'm not glad to see it be brought forward in the way that it is, but I'm glad that we're having that conversation for the first time in a long time.
Do the cuts stand?
I think they stand, largely stand, yes.
Representative Colon, does the University of Missouri get a cut?
I think they do, yes.
Caleb Jones, do they get a cut?
They do.
And I think that chairman has long saved the University of Missouri from a conservative legislature, and I think they have exhausted his patience.
Yeah. Scott, it's not even the conservative legislature. For the last two and a half decades, the either budget chair on the House side or the Senate appropriations chair has been from Boone County.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, Roger Wilson, Chris Kelly, Kurt Schaefer, all those guys held water for Mizzou.
People forget the work Kurt Schaefer's done for 7 years to save Mizzou.
He is,
and in some ways he gets criticized to keeping him in that bubble, and I think they finally just wore out his patience.
Well, I think at some point you actually have to show if there are problems, show changes, show willingness to.
Are
change.
They showing changes? Is there structural change there? I don't see that.
I haven't seen any yet. Me personally, but. There, it's not just a budget issue either, though. I filed a bill this week dealing with teaching waivers. Over half of the professors at the University of Missouri are on teaching waivers, meaning they don't have to teach classes. I agree there needs to be some, but I think the AAU average is somewhere in the mid-20s. We have 51% on teaching waivers right now. Do the math on that. If my kid was in the University of Missouri right now, my tuition is paying for two professors for everyone teaching a class. And to me, that is a problem. That needs to be looked at.
Now, you're right, it needs to be looked at. But have you reached out to the folks and said, why is it this way? And here's why I ask, because I hear from some professors, you know what, in order to be a top X or Y university, we need to have so many folks engaged in research, not teaching.
I am so glad you brought up rankings. In the last 5 years, the University of Missouri has fallen from not just a light grays down the hill. They have fallen off the plateau.
You want to say grays.
This is where we love the podcast, but that would have been great to see that on this week in Missouri Politics.
If this was live, you'd have seen my head explode. We're dropping out of the top 100 shortly in the USA News and World Reports. World rankings in the London higher ed rankings had us at 212. Was it four or five years ago? Now we've dropped down to 400.
Take the eggheads out of it. Parents, common sense parents, are no longer seeing their enrollments down. They're not sending their kids.
We're about to drop out of the AAU.
Is this because Mike's gained 10 pounds down here, or because we have 51% of professors on teaching waivers? There's a correlation.
I can tell you this. University is an anomaly with its teaching waivers.
That I can agree with.
And teaching waivers have gone up. Ranking of the University of Missouri has gone down. I'm not a math major, Mike, but I could see a correlation there.
Hey, speaking of the budget, budget moving through the House this week, there was a day, it's Medicaid Expansion Day. Representative Colonna, all the Democrats that push for this all year long get to stand up and make their case on Medicaid expansion during the budget debate. Lots of good quotes. I assume you're disappointed.
You know, you may not know, Scott, but I filed a little bill, and a little bill dealt with the city of St. Louis seceding. And I did a little tongue-in-cheek, but
let me co-sponsor.
Gentlemen, you know you can still go online and hit that button. Boom. But, you know, I bring that up because I highlighted six or seven reasons in a little note that I put out there on why would I want to do something like this tongue-in-cheek. Plain and simple, Medicaid expansion is one of them. The biggest employer, two things. One, the biggest employer in my city is BJC Hospital. My biggest employer stands to lose billions of dollars if Missouri doesn't expand their Medicaid.
They lose billions?
They lose billions from the federal government.
They're going to take it away?
Let's be real. All right. Medicaid waivers have been given for the past couple of years. The feds can't do that indefinitely. Remember the way Obamacare, I said that evil, evil Washington word, is supposed to work. Traditional Medicaid as we know it kind of goes away. And the reason why it goes away is because Obamacare steers people into the private market so that they can take responsibility and purchase their own health insurance from private companies subsidized by the government. The idea being the more people you have insured through private companies, they can take the rollover of paying hospitals for treatment from the federal government. However, people here in the state of Missouri and a couple other states say, no, that's bad. The scary man in the White House wants to take away your liberty, so the answer that our Republican-controlled Congress has given us over the past couple years is to delay the shrinking of traditional Medicaid doctors, or dollars, but at the same time continue spending more and more and more on traditional Obamacare expansion. So now it's almost like the federal government is paying twice as much as they used to before we even changed the law.
All those points were stating that doesn't happen in Missouri, right?
Correct.
Danny Pfeiffer, anything else in the budget you saw that's interesting?
Anything else in the budget interesting?
There's a budget provision that would stop the state from funding any abortion.
Right.
Which you mentioned BJC. This would be a huge hit to BJC. Some of the provisions in and around that of the state budget would cut BJC out of a lot of funding.
You know, we could expand Medicaid. We could protect the gays. You know, we could do things like keep our own earnings tax that we voted on 5 years ago. But instead, for some reason, a small percentage of the majority party that's very socially conservative has decided to dictate to the two biggest economic engines in the state of Missouri how their policy will be carried out.
While we crack the window for Representative Cloninger to calm down, as the budget moves through, it looks like the House always has the lion's share of this. Will the events in the Senate, with it slowing down, will the House's budget be even more influential this year?
Good question. I would say, hopefully. I like what's in the House budget, so I'm going to say hopefully.
Caleb, with the Senate having problems, it could be shut down for the year. Probably not. Seems a long time, but seems like a lot of that sucking sound you heard was all the power from individual senators coming over to the House.
You know, it was right now during our podcast, the Democrat caucus is meeting right now to, I think, lay out a ground plan on what they plan on doing as a reaction to the PQ this early into session. It'll be interesting to see actually what happens and how we progress from there. I think spring break is going to be sorely needed, and I think it'll give everybody a chance to take a deep breath and hopefully get some legislation after that that's good government and can really help move the ball forward.
You heard it from the Podfather's mouth. Let's do we're going to wrap up the hashtag MoLedge podcast every week with a couple quick takes. Give me two predictions. One, do contribution limits even get brought up and even thought about in the House, Caleb?
No.
Kelowna?
No.
Danny?
Nope.
Ashley?
No.
Not even thought about. There's only one place I think that thinks about that, and that's editorial pages. I don't see that as a real...
It's good fodder.
No. Actually, it's not good fodder. It's good public policy. It's the one part of ethics reform that we should pass, but doesn't poll as high as the easy pickings. Don't tell me that a steak dinner changes your vote, but a $1 million donation doesn't.
Coming from the man that gets the most gifts in the house.
Absolutely correct.
If you're going to take gifts, take the most, right?
If you're going to be an eagle, be a bald eagle, Mike. You're doing a great job at taking lobbyist gifts. I'm proud of you. On the other hand, don't.
But I don't have $500,000 donation from some folks.
I haven't
which
either.
Which you don't
so,
either.
No, yeah, it's, I mean, we're...
Everyone claiming poverty lawyers. Here at the state capitol today.
I agree with you. Right?
Presidential primary is coming up, Ashley. Who wins the Missouri presidential primary?
Oh, gosh. After the last few days, I think I am resigned to say that Donald Trump will win Missouri.
Carries Missouri? Danny, who carries Missouri?
You know, I think Ted Cruz is going to win Missouri.
Shout out to Jeff Rowe, right?
Yeah.
But Colonna, who wins Missouri on the Republican side?
The Trump train will squeeze it out.
Does Bernie Sanders sneak up on Hillary Clinton in Missouri and beat her again?
God, I hope not.
Caleb, you have a dog in this fight. One of the top people with Marco Rubio nationwide. Is he playing in Missouri to win?
He is playing in Missouri, but the sad reality is that Missouri doesn't matter right now. It's Florida or bust. I think that all eyes are on Florida right now. We're seeing over $50 million being spent in Florida alone in the next 7 days. It's going to be real interesting to watch. And most importantly, in Missouri...
Wins Florida, does he win the nomination?
Yeah.
Who carries Missouri?
Overall?
No, who wins the primary Tuesday night?
In Missouri it doesn't matter because it's all broken up by congressional districts. So you can win Missouri handily if Trump or Cruz or even, you know, Kasich can win all of Missouri by 51% and still only get third of the delegates.
The delegate votes are broken up in Missouri.
The delegates in Missouri, the delegate votes are broken up by congressional district. And
who walks out with the most delegates Tuesday night in Missouri?
Who walks out with the most delegates? I think Trump.
So right here, if Rubio does not win Florida, Trump's a nominee?
Yes. I think so.
Anybody think Bernie can beat Hillary Clinton?
I do.
Really?
I think the Trump momentum has not only affected the Republican primaries, but I think it's helped the Democrats.
Mike Clooney, you have to come back on sometime and explain to us how contributions, people spending their own money how they want to, is bad, but the superdelegate thing or the privileged delegate thing the Democrats have aren't the most corrupt thing anyone's ever heard of.
The Hillary Clinton Ponzi scheme.
If they did that in Cuba, you'd be like, all those poor people. But they do it in America and the Democrat Party. It is bizarre.
I fully expect whatever is left of the GOP.
Are you a superdelegate?
And Colonna beats on us about being corrupt.
Yeah, that is the most blatantly corrupt thing ever.
Let me tell you something. As soon as the GOP decides what they're going to look like after this election, you're going to see GOP superdelegates or something akin to
that. I think they may look huge, is what it sounds like at this table. I want to thank Ashley McDonald, Farm Bureau, Danny Pfeiffer, Kettles, thanks for being on, Representative Mike Colonna from South St. Louis City, and the Podfather himself, Representative Caleb Jones from here in Missouri, for being on our initial Hashtag MoLedge podcast. I want to thank everybody at Farm Bureau, St. Louis Chamber of Commerce, and KMOX, and obviously we want to thank Rachel Herndon with the Missouri Times for being here and figuring out the computer end of it. Everyone, thanks for being on, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.